years old in August. And according to LongeviQuest, the global authority on human longevity, she's the oldest in the U.S. and fifth oldest in the world. Her 68-year-old great-granddaughter, Ethel, back on her 112th birthday.
A lot of her strength comes from her faith that she has in God.
And she never smoked and only had an occasional glass of wine. Elizabeth was born in Louisiana in 1909. By the age of 20, she'd already witnessed World War I, the Great Depression, and the adoption of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Flacco, that rare Eurasian owl that captured the hearts of New York City, has died. He was living free after escaping from the Central Park Zoo. The zoo says he apparently collided with a building on the Upper West Side. Flacco, with his striking yellow-orange eyes and kingly bearing, was beloved on social media. In the days after his escape, the owl foiled attempts to capture him, and the zoo finally decided he could live in the wild. He is trending on the site formerly known as Twitter, with passionate posts about what he meant to the idea of freedom. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Todd Almost Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network.
It's a news connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, lots of sunshine, highs in the mid-30s, a little breezy. Breezy tonight, mostly cloudy, 29. For Sunday, mostly sunny, a high around 46. We'll be into the mid-50s on Monday and into the upper 50s with a chance of rain showers on your Tuesday. Right now, 31 degrees.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, hello, Wisconsin. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. We are here every week to talk about keeping Wisconsin moving forward. And folks, on Monday, February 19th, 2024, the Democratic Party and Governor Tony Evers delivered a promise that they've been making for years to have fair maps finally in the state of Wisconsin. And I thought there was not a better person other than the chairperson of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin to talk about these new maps, Ben Wickler. Hello, Ben. How are you?
Hello, Mark. It's great to be with you and with your listeners on this historic day. We have been a state where democracy was in chains, where we did not have anything approaching a legitimate representative form of government in our state until today, because of the tireless work of people all over the state, of so many of your listeners right now, to not only, you know, vote against Scott Walker and for Governor Evers, for Democrats in the state legislature, but also in Supreme Court race after Supreme Court race and rising up against their impeachment threats. We reached this moment where we had a pro-democracy state Supreme Court that believed in our Constitution, and they determined that our state legislative maps were unconstitutional. They struck them down, and now today, Governor Evers signed new maps into law, and the will of the people has, for the first time in a long time, the opportunity to become the law of the land. It is very, very exciting, and it's a huge deal.
It is a huge deal. And I know that you've been thinking about this day for many, many years. How long have you been the chair now of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin?
I was elected chair in June of 2019. So I volunteered a whole bunch on the governor's race in 2018, and, you know, for Tammy Baldwin and folks running for state legislature. Ran for chair in 2019, and was elected that summer. So I was here through the Supreme Court race when Jill Karofsky won during that pandemic election, which we remember very, very painfully. I was here when we defeated Biden in 2020 and became the tipping point state. I was here when we elected Jill.
Wait, you know, you need to say that again. When you defeated, I think you meant.
Thank you. We defeated Donald Trump.
I know you sounded like a fake elector there for a minute.
No, we elected Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and we defeated Donald Trump. And Wisconsin was the state that put Joe Biden over the top. So it was a key moment. And, you know, we just saw this Wisconsin fake elector on national news on 60 Minutes last night. Someone I know well from when we were both chairs of the state parties. But I was a real elector, and I got to go into the Capitol with my head held high and sign legitimate legal documents that went to the actual, elector counting process and helped ensure that Joe Biden would succeed Donald Trump as the president of the United States.
Step by step. I do want to come back to the mad head fake elector and the 60 Minute show and some of that. I think you can bring a lot to the table on that, but I really want to sort of right up front talk about, you know, for 5 years you've been there at the rudder and doing a great job of moving Wisconsin, you know, we're a purple state, making it a bluer purple and fighting the, you know, the mega craziness. You've thought a long time now what it would mean to have fair maps. But as a practical matter, what are the immediate tasks ahead?
So the thing that happens right now is a huge push on candidate recruitment. We need to fill the ballot. We need candidates running in every one of the 99 assembly districts and in every one of the Senate districts that are up. It's not all 33, because only half are up each election cycle. But we want to make sure that every voter has a choice. And this cycle, the number of voters for whom that choice is real, where their votes could actually tip the majority, it's tripled. The number of competitive seats has tripled compared to the previous maps. So these candidates, it's not just people willing to put their name on the ballot. It's people who are ready to actually go to work. And, you know, most cycles, most candidates meet this description. They're ready to upend their lives to fight for democracy and what they believe in. That's what this moment calls for. We've got to get candidates ready to take out papers on April 15th, and then they've got to collect signatures and turn them in by June 2nd. when that moment happens, some places might have a primary. The primary is August 13th, and then we're running through the tape. I mean, we have a ton of work to do all through this spring, this summer, this fall. The thing that these candidates can do, and that the volunteers and the kitchen cabinet members and the friends and family, that everyone can do in this moment, is not just potentially win seats, and not even just potentially end Robin Voss's speakership and change the fundamental dynamics of Wisconsin politics. You can also inspire voters who've given up on the possibility of change, make a case to them, a credible, real case that it is worth casting a ballot in this moment. And by doing that, help to reelect Tammy Baldwin, help to defeat Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile, and help to reelect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and throw out Donald Trump as he attempts to retake over the White House. Your votes in this moment can affect every single level of government in a way that few voters ever have the opportunity to do, and not just play defense, but actually go on offense and make positive change. What an extraordinary privilege in this moment to be able to do that. And it's only because of the work that's been done year over year that we've reached this moment.
So, you know, in many ways, the tasks ahead and for you, it's like you're not to overload you, but your backpack just got bigger and heavier.
Might think, I mean, in one sense, yes. In the other sense, the team that's hiking together just got bigger. So there's more people who could all help carry each other. Like there's a lot more people on the road now, and it feels awful good.
Yeah, I agree. If we all need to get in the boat and row the same way all together. And, you know, there is hope. And I say that I look at my grandkids and what does that mean to them, right? The oldest is 13, because this is really a generational change time. Maybe not at the top of the ticket nationally, right? But, you know, for the state, it really is a generational opportunity. How do you see women and young people participating? Do you see that we're going to have more younger candidates, more diverse candidates?
Absolutely. I mean, let's start with the legislative leaders, Greta Neubauer and Dianne Hesselbein. This has been a state right now at this very moment when you have two, you know, older white guys running the two state legislative chambers, Devin Lemieux and Robin Voss. And the possibility exists that over this election cycle and the next one, they will be supplanted by two dynamic women leaders who are substantially younger than the guys that they'll be defeating. And you know, Greta Neubauer, I think, is a great example of someone who was an activist and was looking for the ways that she could make the biggest change in the world and decided to move home and run for the state legislature. And now she's leading the charge. And Dianne Hesselbein has deep, deep roots. She and I have been talking about, we're like 100 years later than these big bang moments in the progressive movement. She's so deeply rooted in the progressive tradition of the state and yet represents this very fresh voice. They're recruiting candidates of color, young people, candidates representing all these different communities around the state that have not had a chance to actually flip seats and serve in the state legislature. And even if they did, there's not been a Democratic chair of a single committee in our state legislature since 2011. There's been a total shutout. Because Republicans have had the majority, there's been no opportunity for any Democrat to control the agenda for a state legislative committee meeting or decide what reaches the floor and what actually gets a vote. All of that is about to change. And it means that more different people with more different ideas representing a broader swath of the state's electorate are actually going to have a voice in the way that power moves in the state of Wisconsin. And what happens here doesn't just stay here. We're the tipping point state for the entire country. So this shift, this generational shift, this really kind of new birth of hope and democracy in Wisconsin, it's going to ripple out across the whole country. And that is something that it's just spectacularly exciting. I've been getting a million text messages and calls all day from people across the country watching this. And I hope that folks in other states are paying attention and realizing what's possible. If you fight every single fight, what's possible at the other end of it is a profound shift and a reawakening of the possibilities of our democracy.
I can't miss that reference to millions of emails. I hope all those millions of emails are sending you dollars, millions of dollars, to help us get through this this battle. Because the fact that we have new maps, my assumption is it's going to also amp up the mega Republicans on the other side in terms of how important Wisconsin is and how important the state government is as well. Do you see that as well?
Absolutely. And you can see it right now in right-wing media. If you look at right-wing websites or listen to right-wing talk radio hosts, you know, they're afraid of democracy. They're afraid of what democracy might do to the ways that they've tried to thwart democracy. So Wisconsin's already the central state in the presidential election. It's why the Republicans put their national convention here. It's why Donald Trump, when he came time to hire his top strategist, he hired the guy who ran Ron Johnson's race, Chris LaCivita. They have a Wisconsin strategy that is central to their plan to get back into the power in the White House. We are key to the Republicans' goal of flipping the state, the U.S. Senate majority. Tammy Baldwin is one of the top five Senate races in the country. And then in the House, we've got two key House seats. But what happens if we win the legislature is that Republicans might have to face a set of state laws that restores voter access, that ensures that workers can have a voice in their own workplaces. These are the kinds of things that they've used to stomp out democracy. But now all those are on the table, and you can bet MAGA will fight with all it's got to try to stop this from happening.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here with the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, and we're talking about how to keep Wisconsin moving forward.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and won.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead, he had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three, got it again.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM, located in the heart of purple Wisconsin, Waukesha, Waukesha County. I'm honored to have with me the head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, and we're talking about the historical significance of the governor's decision to sign the legislation that put his maps in play in 2024, and what that means to, like, liberating democracy in the state of Wisconsin. You know, before we get into more of aspects in terms of where does this take us, there were letters that were sent by the governor to keep certain issues open before the court. Because we do have some special elections between now and November. For folks, if you didn't know that the Republican bill started the new maps in the November 2024 election, the Supreme Court had ruled that the current maps are unconstitutional, and what is left open that the court will have to decide is what maps are going to govern these special elections. How do you see that aspect playing out? I mean, we know that Senator Lena Taylor is now a Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge. That seat is open. I read the letter from the senators. They think one or two others maybe. How does that come into play?
So it's pretty clear. The old maps are gone. They're no longer law. The new maps are the law in the state. The last ones were enjoined. They were struck down by the state Supreme Court as unconstitutional. So they're not in effect. And when we, I think everyone collectively saw this part of the law that Republicans had passed through that included the language that the new maps don't take effect until the fall, it turns out the Legislative Reference Bureau makes a practice of appending that to every new redistricting bill, and it made it into this one. So the governors asked the state Supreme Court to clarify. I have every confidence that they will, but why wouldn't they? And what that means in practice is that, for example, in Lena Taylor's special election, or if there's a recall of Robin Voss, those things would take place on the new maps, not the old maps. It's as simple as that. I don't know if Republicans are going to try to, you know, somehow wave a magic wand and get the unconstitutional maps restored, but I can't see any way that that could actually work. This is the new reality. The Republican gerrymander of their dreams, it actually didn't meet the standards of our Constitution, and it is no longer in effect. And every minute we go forward from today on, we're a little bit more free. We live in something more closely resembling a democracy than we did before. And I shouldn't say a little, a lot. Being able to vote and have your vote potentially decide who makes decisions in government, that is how a Republican form of government is supposed to work. That's what's in the U.S. Constitution. Every state's supposed to have it. We kind of didn't in Wisconsin for a while, and now we do.
Yeah, it was more than a while. It's yeah. A long, long time, right?
I mean, my oldest kid is 12. I have spent a lot of time explaining to Mac what gerrymandering means. Unfortunately, you couldn't understand Wisconsin government unless you understood gerrymandering. Exactly. And now my two younger kids, they're not going to have those lessons, is my hope, because this is done and dusted.
So how do you see these new maps? How does this provide the Democratic Party of Wisconsin an opportunity to get out into rural Wisconsin and in a way that we can address the mega craziness out there? I mean, you read every day, it's like there's this view that somehow the Democratic Party doesn't consider rural issues, not concerned about rural issues. How does this allow us to get there?
It's preposterous. Those allegations are preposterous. But what Republicans have done is draw maps that ensured that even when there were majorities of Democrats in rural areas, those folks couldn't actually elect anyone to represent them. So that ends now. And you can go to central Wisconsin, go to Wausau. There's a lot of Democrats there. They'd love to vote for a Democrat in the state legislature. Now they actually have a chance to do it in the 85th district. Go to DePere. Go to Ashwaubenon, go to Chippewa Falls. These are all areas where there are now really competitive state legislative seats. And there are Democrats who are fired up and ready to organize. And what strikes me about Republicans' claims that it's never been about gerrymandering is that they fought tooth and claw to avoid this moment from ever coming. They're actually going to have to run on their ideas now and their record. They'll probably run from their record, not on their record. But they're going to have to answer to voters why they voted for an abortion ban just this summer. Just this winter, they voted for an abortion ban. Why they voted to try to get guns into schools. Why they've done vote after vote to represent the mega extreme right to undermine our democracy, to take away people's basic freedoms, and never to deliver for working people across the state of Wisconsin. All those things will be on the table now. They've been running just in Republican primaries. Who could leapfrog further to the right? Well, guess what? Most people don't live on the MAGA far-right extremist fringe in this state. This is a state of common sense and decency. And you can see that in our statewide elected officials like Tammy Baldwin and Governor Evers. Now we're going to see it in the state legislature, too.
You know, you would touched on the fact that the fake elector, Mr. Hitt, was on 60 Minutes recently, and he was talking about how he feared for his safety. And that's what made him play along in this conspiracy to send these fake electors to D.C. as part of what they've admitted was a plan to undermine the 2020 election. The, you know, as you said, you were an illegit elector. To me, the fact that the fake electors have come out and admitted that Joe Biden legitimately is the president of the United States is a big, big deal, because they were the biggest election liars or, you know, spreaders of the conspiracy around. In 10 seconds, what do we learn from that?
We learn that you can't outrun reality for too long. There's accountability here, and the public is going to see and hear and be reminded that there was a plot to overthrow our constitutional democracy in this country. There were human beings in our own communities who took part in that plot, and we can never allow a plot like that to succeed again. This election will determine the future of democracy in this country, and we're going to make that absolutely clear to everyone as they cast their ballots this November.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. Thank you, Ben Wickler. Thank you for carrying the load forward on Wisconsin.
Thanks so much, Ray.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Voter turnout is heavy in South Carolina for the Republican presidential primary, where Nikki Haley is hoping for a long-shot upset over former President Trump, or at least a boost for her campaign.
We're going to be campaigning all day today, and then we're going to keep going all the way through Super Tuesday. That's as far as I've thought in terms of going forward. We've placed ad buys. We've gone and put out the public schedule of where we're going to be, and so we're going to keep on going.
Ukraine President Zelensky is asking leaders of the Group of Seven for more help 2 years after Russia invaded.
We stood against the strikes. We are reclaiming what belongs to us.
The remains of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny have been delivered to his mother after a dispute following his sudden death. The BBC's Danny Eberhardt.
The development came hours after Mr. Navalny's widow, Yulia, used a video address for an excoriating personal attack on Vladimir Putin, demanding he release the body.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bucks beat the Timberwolves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks' first game after the All-Star break was just what the doctor ordered. The Bucks with a 112-107 win in Minnesota. Giannis with 33 points. Lillard with 21. Malik Beasley with 14 in the second half. Milwaukee dominated the third quarter but looked tired at the end, head coach Doc Rivers.
You know, one thing you can see with our team, I don't know if there's any place to do it, but you can see conditioning because they're playing hard. They were gassed. There were a bunch of guys gassed on our team for sure. And that's what happens when you play hard defense and hard offense. So we're going to have to try to condition in games, you know, to get that, because we have to get used to playing that way for 48 minutes.
In New Orleans, a fourth quarter fight left four players ejected from the game, including Jimmy Butler. The Miami Heat went on to win 106-95 over the Pelicans. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, lots of sunshine, highs in the mid-30s, a little breezy. Breezy tonight, mostly cloudy, 29. For Sunday, mostly sunny, a high around 46. We'll be into the mid-50s on Monday and into the upper 50s with a chance of rain showers on your Tuesday. Right now, 31 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the air.
Progressive presents advice on new teen drivers.
You know, the hardest part about teaching your teen to drive is the chafing from the seatbelt. But the best part is the grip strength you built in your knuckles. Okay, now let's pull out of the driveway.
Here's another tip. Offset a chunk of the cost of adding a teen to your insurance with Progressive's teen driver discount and get a break from the break. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states or situations.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's a new sheriff in town. Well, sort of. Lola is joining the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Her furry face and four legs will provide support to those behind bars. Here's Sheriff Sean Becker.
It's all connected, addiction, mental health, and the people that are incarcerated. It's a very, very high percentage of them are struggling from either addiction or mental health issues or illnesses or a combination or most likely both.
Our therapy animal is going to provide emotional support for people who are in distress. The inmates see her, focus on her. It makes them in a better place.
Lieutenant Susanna Wagner is Lola's partner. The two will be training together, then watch for them across the county. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr. Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. I am delighted to have with me Matt Moreno, who is the chairperson of the Waukesha County Democratic Party. And we are here to talk about the significance of the new maps and how that's going to play out in Waukesha, in the middle of our state. And folks, as you know, Waukesha will probably be central, if not key, to the November elections statewide. It has the largest group of Democratic voters out of Dane County and Milwaukee County, in a county that historically was red or purple, and now it's, you know, it's a purple, and it's, you know, last time around, Waukesha itself was blue, right?
Yeah, City of Waukesha voted blue for Judge Janet, or Justice Janet now, we can say.
Yeah. So it's a big, big deal. So how do you see this historic fact that we have the Republicans sent Tony Evers, our governor, his maps, and he signed them?
Yeah, I mean, this is massive. For the first time in, you know, a decade plus, we have fair maps in Wisconsin. That's a massive win. And for the voters in, you know, Brookfield and Waukesha and Menominee Falls, for the first time in a very long time, they are going to have a chance to hold their elected leaders accountable and, you know, get honest debates on issues and not basically just have two of the most extremist folks or more running in a Republican primary to see who's going to represent in a district that is completely unwinnable. Now, you know, obviously the maps still are not great for a lot of the county because a lot of the county is still, you know, trailing that 40% or lower percentage. But with the governor's maps, we do have two districts that are absolutely in play, and we are very excited to hold two very conservative, very out of touch Republicans accountable.
So let's focus in a little bit on who those out of touch MAGA Republicans are. And then let's share with the listeners, what is it in terms of an opportunity to get involved?
Absolutely. So let's start off in Brookfield, kind of work our way back toward the city where we're sitting currently. Out in Brookfield, we know we elected, over the last few years, we elected Sarah Rodriguez, our now lieutenant governor, started off in the state assembly, and we elected Robin Vining. And then when the Republicans gerrymandered their maps again to kick out those two seats and to make it even a safer Republican seat than it was before, they elected a very out-of-touch Republican named Tom Mikulski. And he has represented Brookfield and Elm Grove in an unwinnable district that was over 25-plus points Republican for a community that is trending Democratic. And he got redistricted into Robin Vining's seat. So him and Robin Vining are going to be squaring off in November, and we are very excited to have a proven leader who is fighting for the issues important to young families like her own and Robin Vining against an out-of-touch, older man who doesn't represent the changing demographics of Brookfield and Elm Grove. And then we come back to the city, and we have...
Well, let's, before we jump to the city, that we're talking about the 13th.
Yep, and the 13th, right? Yep, that's Brookfield, Elm Grove.
So what do you think the key issues are going to be there?
Yeah, I mean, we look at Brookfield and Elm Grove, we look at those communities as well as the other parts of the 13th that are out covering parts of Wauwatosa, and we look at the changes. There's growing dramatically younger as young families are moving in, and the biggest issues they're facing is the same issues that are facing young families all across Wisconsin: affordable housing, affordable childcare, reproductive rights, and the rights to decide how to start their family, when they want to start their family, and not being driven and dictated by a government that decides when a family should start or who should be in the medical room deciding those things. And then just what their friends and neighbors can be like. They want a place that's welcoming to their friends and neighbors. They want a place that's open for LGBT couples to move to. They don't want communities that are pushing people away. And that also boils down to school board issues and issues we see in the local, things like book bans and the radicalization of school boards that folks like Tom Murkowski has helped fund. Candidates like that. So all of these issues around young families are going to be key and central with Robin Vining's reign, and we look forward to supporting her and, you know, taking that seat back.
How do you see reproductive rights and the whole abortion issue playing in this race coming up?
Look, I mean, we know Donald Trump's and the Republicans' agenda is to push through a national abortion ban. So right now we have Tony Evers, we have Josh Collin, we have a liberal-leaning Supreme Court that is protecting Wisconsinites. But we know that if Donald Trump gets into the White House, he has already said privately, and he will say publicly before long, that he's going to be pushing for a 16-week abortion ban at minimum. And so for us, it's going to be making sure that all voters all across the political spectrum know that Donald Trump and the Republicans he supports are gearing up to take away women's rights at a national level, so no one will be able to stop that.
Now, you'd mentioned there were another district, District 82.
District we're currently sitting in, actually. So here in the heart of Waukesha, the 82nd Assembly District, currently represented by Mr. Out of Touch himself, Scott Allen, who is, I would love to debate and see if he's the most conservative member in the Wisconsin State Assembly, which is really saying something when you have some of those guys up there. But Scott Allen has been in a gerrymandered safe seat for a very long time. He has not really faced a true opposition. He's avoided debates. He's avoided, you know, holding accountability with voters. And for the first time, we are putting in a district that, while not a 50-50 toss-up, certainly closer than we've had. And we think with one of the two great candidates that we already have announced for the district, that we are going to be in a great spot to really draw a contrast between what Scott Allen is doing for Waukesha and what a Democrat could do for the Waukesha.
Who do you see running?
As of right now, we have two declared candidates in the 82nd. We have Kevin Riley, who a lot of you guys may know as Mayor Sean Riley's brother, and Megan Locke, a great single mom who lives in the northern part of the district, who's fantastic. And both these Democrats are committed to a great campaign where they elevate each other, they elevate the issues the Democrats are fighting for, and have already pledged to support each other outside the primary. So we are very excited that we are on a great pace to focus on Scott Allen.
When was the last time we had a healthy primary?
In Waukesha County?
In Waukesha
County. I, b-
before I got involved over a decade plus ago. We've not really, it's been much more like dragging someone to run in a district. Because, you know, you think of it this way. If you are a person who has any sort of desire to serve your community, and you get a call from me asking you to run in a district that's, you know, 45 to 50 points Republican, it kind of makes it harder to be like, you know, I'm going to run for school board after, you know, losing my first race by, you know, 75-25. So when you have fair maps, you're going to be drawing people in who want to serve their community, but also want to make sure that they're doing it in a way that's actually plausible to win. And I think having these fair maps does help with that, because you're going to start getting the best of the best folks running, because now they're going to be truly vetted by voters and not just by a very small piece of a very extreme Republican Party.
You know, I think folks knew when the Supreme Court struck down the old maps as unconstitutional that we would have new maps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody foresaw the fact that the Republicans were going to give the governor his maps. I think there are people that think that they were hoping those maps were better for them than, you know, the court's experts.
Mm-hmm.
But people have been thinking about the fact that we're going to have new maps.
Yep.
So how have you sensed at the street level and in terms of enthusiasm or hope amongst people? I mean,
I've held more one-on-one calls and introduction calls with candidates or potential candidates who are interested in the last 3 months that I've probably had in the last 3 years. Because with new maps on the ground that we are tentatively looking at, you know, today we have, actually we know we're working with, before it was just a lot of curiosity. But there's a lot of folks, a lot of great folks, community leaders, current elected representatives at the local level who are eyeing a future run in the state house because they know what's possible. So there's a lot of interest gearing up and a lot of fired up folks who are looking to run.
How do you see this new excitement in terms of fundraising?
You know, it's going to bring in more fundraising. Absolutely. Because people are excited. You know, it's hard to make a call to someone and say, hey, I need X number of dollars to do this thing. And they're like, oh, cool. Like, what's the percentage of chance of winning? You're like, well, you know, it's not great. It's hard to justify that return on investment. But now when I call donors and I'm like, hey, here's what we're looking at. This seat's 50-50. This seat's 45-55. A little money can go a long way. Much easier to show them a return on that investment than justifying them sending it to Joe Biden or Tammy Baldwin or to up north or Milwaukee or Madison, or where we have other districts that are maybe a bit closer. We can keep that money right here in the county now.
So the other thing I'm thinking about, how does it help you in terms of coalition building? It seems like if you're on the verge where progressives can actually win seats, how does that play in terms of broader coalition? Bringing in independents, you know, to the extent they exist.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they definitely exist. I think Walks is a great example of how they exist because, as you mentioned earlier, we're the third largest Democratic voting base block in Wisconsin, but we are the number one voting block of persuadable independent voters here in Waukesha County. But further to your question, I think it's a great thing because you're going to have more Democrats out there who are talking about the issues and building coalitions. And look, if you are a community organization who cares about a specific issue, it only made sense for you to try to cozy up with the Republicans who you knew were going to be in power. You didn't want to burn bridges. You didn't want to be on their crap list because we know Robin Voss loves his grudges. But now when you're looking at a district that's 50-50, you have a much better time talking to both sides, advocating for your issues, and really listening to a candidate who will support your issues from the get-go and not, hopefully, maybe they'll be a little less bad if we support them. So I think there's going to be a lot of groups who have historically backed Republicans out of necessity will now be very much open-minded to seeing what candidates actually care about the issues we're fighting for. And that'll bring a lot of different coalitions, a lot of new money, a lot of different energy to these races that we haven't seen in Wisconsin in a long time.
I think that's a really, you know, an important observation. The fact that gerrymandered power is so centralized, it completely limits free discussion, and the fear factor just, you know, builds in. You know, it's just amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't have a specific example, but imagine you're, you know, a realtor association. Would you want to fight Robin Voss on an issue ever, knowing that he controls the legislature? And if you cross him, he will burn you down every chance he gets? Absolutely not. But now there's a real issue or a real possibility for all of these groups, from realtors to municipalities to LGBTs or immigration groups, can actually have honest discussions about issues and not have the looming threat of a supermajority Republican assembly holding them accountable for any choices they make or advocacy they have during the election.
Just before we go to break, if there's a central focus, central statement you'd want to make, what would it be in terms of the result of these new maps?
Look, it's game-changing. I think if you look for one word, game-changing is the word you're going to find.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. I'm here with the chairperson of the Democratic Party of Waukesha County. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It truly pays to be a member of Ag Country Farm Credit Services. For the fifth year in a row, Ag Country is paying a 1% patronage dividend on all eligible business for 2023. The co-op is also making a special second payment of 0.5%. Together, Ag Country members will receive a record $125 million. That's the power of the co-op. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Folks, we're here in the heart of Waukesha. We are here in the heart of the 82nd District, a district that hasn't had free and fair elections for years and years. And with the governor's new maps, folks, you're going to have a real election in Waukesha.
We sure are.
And I am here with Matt Moreno, who is the chairperson of the Democratic Party of Waukesha. And we're talking about the breath of fresh air, the new beginnings, a new day in Wisconsin. Actually, you could say, you know, there's a chance to go forward, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, but we got elections already scheduled. So,
sure do.
So, how do you see that, and what are the hot stories?
Yeah, I mean, so for very few voters in Wisconsin, tomorrow is election day. For us, we have elections in Brookfield and the village of Waukesha, and a couple of small communities throughout Waukesha County. And
that all kind of gears us up for a huge April election where we have school boards and city councils all across the county. And, you know, it's going to gear up to be another fight of a year because the WISRED Waukesha County Republican Party machine is already kind of going full motor with endorsements and financial support and postcards and staff on the ground. And they are not missing a beat. And, you know, we expect another $150,000, $200,000 investment from the Waukesha Republican Party to continue to try to bring extremists into our local government.
So we have new maps. New maps aren't going to take place until November.
Mm-hmm.
How do these new maps and this energy, how will that impact the April election?
Look, I think, you know, today alone, we have had over a dozen new volunteer signups on our website. See a huge amount of traffic coming to the website of people who are feeling hopeful for the first time in a long time. And all of those folks, we are going to get them engaged tomorrow. We're not waiting until April or May or June or July. We're getting them involved right away.
What's that webpage?
WaukeshaDems.org. Fully revamped site, great volunteer sign up. We actually just brought on our own volunteer organizer, paid staffer, named Amy Regner. She'll be reaching out to if you sign up. She's wonderful because you know what? We looked at what the Waukesha GOP was doing. And we had a big kind of heart-to-heart within the party of, ideally, in a perfect world, all of these races would be between parents who want to serve the school board, local folks who just want to figure out ways to best run their local community, and partisan politics really wouldn't have a role. That's kind of the idealistic view we've had for a very long time. But going on year three, year four, year five of the Waukesha Republicans buying seat after seat after seat after seat, and making us a national laughingstock, we had to fight back. We couldn't sit on the sidelines hoping for an idealistic world anymore. So we brought on Amy Regner, who's an experienced field organizer, great talent, and we are attacking these seats head on. And we are looking at who these Republicans, as using their own words, recruit, vet, and support. And we're going to be holding them accountable all across the county. And one of my, you know, there's two great examples of the type of people that these folks are recruiting. The first one, I won't use his name because he's still pending some charges, but he is a convicted felon who committed voter fraud after he got elected to the school board in a community he didn't live in. I know he's appealing. There's some other issues, so we'll try to keep his name out of it. But Heartland School District said he lived with his dad. He lived in a totally different community, got charged with felony voter fraud, and was found guilty on his first trial. The second one, which is actually going on today, the Waukesha Freeman broke the story about a Village of Waukesha supervisor who's running for his reelection, Michael Gorsetti. He doesn't live in his community anymore, and yet he wants to run and represent the Village of Waukesha when he doesn't even live there. These are the types of folks that they want to recruit. And
when
vet.
You say they, you're talking
Michael, yeah.
But you're talking the MAGA.
Yeah,
WISRED.
The MAGA WISRED, okay. The bank rolling fundraising machine of the Waukesha Republican Party. They, you know, we always look for, like, how do you talk about differences? How do you highlight differences? And I think this is it. They don't care about the community. They don't care about the schools they're representing or the cities or villages. They care about conservative power. And so they are looking for the most extreme conservatives, regardless of where they live, and they are running them in those seats. And that's what we're up against. And so for us, it's going to be holding these folks accountable. Waukesha residents are tired of national stories embarrassing the city and the school district. Rather, it's banning books, banning pride songs, angering Miley Cyrus about a song and getting her tweeting about the Waukesha school board, firing teachers and going through litigation because of it. All of this keeps happening because of extremists who are being vetted, recruited, and elected by the Waukesha Republican Party. And now we're going to take the gloves off and fight back a little bit.
You know, we're talking about the schools. I read there was an incident at Arrowhead, right?
Yeah, very, very unfortunate incident, yeah.
Yeah. Tell the listeners about that, and how is that tied to this WISRED?
Yeah,
is it?
So I think it is. Let's start with what happened, then how I see it tied to this larger picture of WISRED. So there was a Snapchat story, which for those of you guys who don't know what Snapchat is, it's generally used by younger folks, where you take pictures and you send pictures to your friends and stories and other people can see them. and an Arrowhead High School student took a picture of a few black kids at a table and captioned the photo, the N-word table, and shared it on their story. It was seen by students and faculty, and obviously that is not okay to do. That's a horrible thing to say. It's a horrible thing to do. And the school put out their statement saying they're investigating and all of this, and they went through the normal hoops you have to go through when your school is being publicly embarrassed. The background as to how we get here is WISRED consistently for the last several years has attacked the idea of politicizing the schools. So things like safe space, things like educating about race and about sexuality and cultural differences are being just slashed. They are banning pride flags. They're banning discussions around differences like that. And they're making it political. So
yeah, let me say this. I think when you ban it, you open the door to hate.
Yes. The things we have seen and we've heard directly from high schoolers is that when the school boards target these issues, the bullying of these students ramps up indefinitely to the point that students move, students transfer other schools, or students drop out and go to homeschooling because they are no longer safe in their hallways.
Briefly, how does the Democratic Party of Waukesha, how do you address that in these April elections and November elections?
Yeah.
In 10 seconds.
We talk to the families about what a viable, inclusive alternative looks like.
Like, what's it mean, in other words, to have a multiracial democracy, right?
Exactly.
Matt Moreno, thank you so much. Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. We are here focused on making sure that Wisconsin moves forward. We have new maps. Keep hope alive, folks. See you soon.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Where you commit to walking 3 miles or doing 30 minutes on a bike every day in December.
You know, that's good. That's a decent goal. I have that goal. You know how many days I've reached it in the last month? One. Obviously, exercise produces endorphins, and endorphins make us happy, and happy people don't kill their husbands.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. Polls are closing in a few hours in South Carolina, where voters are pouring in to cast their ballots in the state's presidential primary. Former President Trump is leading, and some voters are saying they think this is what the nation needs to move ahead. He's already focusing on President Biden.
Crooked Joe Biden, you're fired. Get out of here. Get the hell. You're destroying our country. You're fired, Biden. Get the hell out of here.
Others say they are behind his rival, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, who told reporters she was grateful that her mother was there when she cast her vote for herself.
To watch her daughter cast the ballot for her daughter for president of the United States tells us everything we need to know about how blessed we are to be in this country.
Now to Israel, where people in Tel Aviv demonstrated to demand the resignation of the current government as the war against Hamas continues and hostages are still being held. More than 29,000 Palestinians have been killed in the Gaza Strip, this protester says.
We believe that now is the time for a new person to come and actually reunite us as we want and take care of the citizens and take care of everything that needs to be taken care of right now instead of this extreme government who just doesn't do its job.
It's been 2 years now since Russia invaded Ukraine, and Moscow is stepping up its offensive as Ukraine's president is asking the West for more help. The BBC's Lise Dorset.
This is a time when Ukraine is worried, worried about the front lines where they're running out of ammunition, worried too about the continuing attacks. There were more drone and missile strikes overnight in regions across Ukraine, including in the city of Odessa on the Black Sea. One person was killed and three others were injured.
There's new data showing that snuffing out menthol